Before we get started here, I want to ask you a question that I really want you to think about. Do you really believe that we can have victory in Jesus?
Amen.
The reason we believe that is because that's what the Word of God teaches us. It teaches us those things very, very clearly. We can have victory in every single area of our spiritual life. But here's what I want you to understand tonight, and we're going to be preaching about it to a certain degree. The only way that that victory is ever going to be experienced is if all the provisions that God has made for it to be experienced are understood and applied to our lives. You really need to understand that. We can by all means have victory in Christ in every area of our lives. I believe that with all of my heart. But I've also come to understand that the only way that we can is by applying all of the provisions that God has made available to our lives. And without applying those provisions, we can't have the victory He wants us to receive. And a lot of times we realize there's victory and we even understand the provisions that He's made for us to enjoy His victory. But we never apply those provisions so we don't experience it in certain areas like we should. That is not the will of God for any of our lives. Not at all. Amen. Thank you very much, musicians. And turn to the book of James chapter 5, a very famous portion of Scripture. Oh, Jesus. Man, this is one of those sermons that I don't want to say that I'm discouraged, but I just don't feel like there's any possible way I'm going to be able to get you to see how important this is, or to the extent that the Lord has impressed it upon my heart to get across to everybody here tonight and what I believe He wants to do around the altar. So just look past my insufficiencies and pray that the Lord would anoint me so that His will would be accomplished in this service. And in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's read that again. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, we're going to read just the first part of that verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And I want to preach to you for a little while tonight on understanding the importance of intercessory prayer. Now, I made a comment before we pray here. I made a comment on Wednesday night that it would be perfectly fine. I've got 3 more Sundays before I go on vacation. As far as I'm concerned, it would be perfectly fine with me if every Sunday night there wasn't any preaching at all, but we just got down around these altars and prayed. And you want to know why? Because there's some people here that have some major needs in their lives. How long did our prayer request time take tonight? How serious were the requests that were made known? How serious do you think some of the requests were that people were too scared to say? Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love You so very much. Lord, and we're so thankful that we can have victory in You, but Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand during the course of this message and especially around these altars and afterward, that we need to apply every provision, and especially the provision of intercessory prayer, if we're ever going to go on to experience the victory that You want us to experience like we should. Lord, we thank You so much, God, that no matter what we are in need of, it can be accomplished through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Understanding the importance of intercessory prayer. Now, in our text, we see that intercessory prayer is of vital importance. Now, I'm going to go slow tonight and I'm going to repeat myself because I really want to make sure you're hearing and listening to what I'm saying. It is of vital importance. Because I want you to notice how clearly it puts it in this text. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, what does that show us? Well, it shows us that intercessory is important to God and it's important to us because God wants it to be applied to our lives. So the first thing that we have to understand is the extreme importance and the role that God wants intercessory prayer to play in our lives. But before we can give ourselves to intercessory prayer like we should, first we have to understand a few basic things about it. There's three main things that we need to understand. And the first thing that we need to understand is what intercessory prayer really is. Well, the definition of the word intercession would probably best be defined as prayer that is offered up on somebody else's behalf. Okay? It's where you pray for somebody else's needs, meaning that somebody else has the problem, but you're praying to see that it's resolved. I mean, there's somebody else that has a need in their life, but you're the one that is seeking the face of God to see that their need gets met. That's what intercessory prayer is. It's you praying for the needs of somebody else, or it's somebody else praying for the needs that you have in your life. Next, we need to understand what intercessory prayer, the fact that it's needed. And when I say that it's needed, let me put it like this. We need to understand the fact that intercessory prayer is desperately needed. And the reason I say that is because as human beings, we have all kinds of different needs we can have in our lives, don't we? I mean, there is all kinds of needs that were even represented during the prayer request. I mean, there's hardships. There's all different kinds of trials and tests and temptations that all of us have to experience. And then to top it off, there's all different kinds of areas that we can experience those things in. We can experience hardship emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So between all the different types of things that we can face, and between all the different areas that we can face those things in, it's very easy to see that as human beings, we're a very needy people, folks. We might as well just admit it. We might as well just accept it. And you want to know why? Because we're experiencing it. We are a very needy people, which makes it a lot easier for us to understand why we need intercessory prayer so badly. We need the help of other people to help pray us through. And that does not mean that we're weak. That doesn't mean that we're unspiritual. Or God would have never made that provision. And last, we need to understand that intercessory prayer is absolutely essential. And there's two main reasons that I say that it's essential in our lives. Number one, because it's commanded of us. Do you realize that? It's a commandment of God for you to pray for other people. Amen? I mean, our text is not a suggestion. Notice what it says. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's not an elective. It's something that God expects of your life. It's not something that we should view as optional, but we need to understand tonight, now more than ever, it's absolutely essential in every single one of our lives. Regardless of how private or how spiritual you might consider yourself to be. God has made the provision of intercessory prayer for a reason. And it's because it's essential. And that's why He commands us to partake of it. The second reason that it's essential is because God knew that there was going to be times in our lives where it would be very difficult for us to face things on our own. And we would need the support, the encouragement, and the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ to help carry us through the situations that we have to face in life. God knew that. I mean, I understand 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He'll never give us more than we can bear. But do you want to know what He also considered when He wrote that verse? That He was going to have the provision of intercessory prayer involved in that verse. I mean, we got to take the Bible as a conclusive whole, right? And yet so many times we go through things that are so hard for us to face and we just want to push that away because God will never give us more than we can bear. But we forget that He's made that provision for a reason. In other words, He knew that there were going to be times in our lives when we would be facing such opposition and the hardships that we were going through would be so weighty and be such a burden in our lives where we would be so weak and we would be in such a vulnerable state that we would need the prayers of other people to come along beside us just so we could possibly make it through. And that's why we're commanded in our text, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So simply because it's commanded of us, and simply because we have a tremendous need for it in our lives, and simply because it's so important and so essential to us, we need to make sure that we give ourselves to intercessory prayer. Not just have an understanding of it, not just be able to quote James chapter 5, verse 16, which was our text tonight. Not just take up prayer requests, but then never do anything about them. And we need to give ourselves to intercessory prayer in two different ways. Number one, we need to give ourselves unselfishly and unreservedly to praying for other people. And we need to let other people give themselves unselfishly and unreservedly to praying for the needs that we have in our own lives. But the only way that we're really going to give ourselves to intercessory prayer like we should is if two things are properly understood and applied. Okay? And the first thing that we have to do in order to give ourselves to intercessory prayer is we have to make sure that we're not just caring about ourselves and our own needs, but we sincerely care about the needs of other people. If you don't care, you won't pray. If you don't really care about somebody, you're not going to take their needs in the way that you should before the throne of grace. Because after all, how are we supposed to pray in our text? I mean, we know the type of prayer we're supposed to offer up, intercessory prayer. But how? Effectually and fervently. And if you don't care, you won't pray in the right way. Folks, the sad truth is that the overwhelming majority of most people's prayers consist of them petitioning God for things that they're in need of when it comes to their own personal life. Now, I want to make the disclaimer right now so nobody shuts me off and acts like I'm some mean guy. I'm not saying that we're selfish. I'm not saying that we purposely don't care about the needs of other people. But what I am saying is that we can get so wrapped up in our own personal lives that if the truth be told, a lot of times we don't even consider how badly people around us are hurting, and we don't understand how desperately they are in need of our prayers. Did you hear what I said? We can get so wrapped up in our own lives and the things that we're experiencing, the things that we're going through. I mean, just the hustle and bustle of everyday life, that if the truth would be told, we don't even consider how badly our brothers and sisters in Christ are hurting or how desperately they are in need of our prayers. It's serious. It's not some little thing. I mean, we can get so preoccupied with our own personal individual problems and with all the different ways that we have to fight the devil ourselves that we don't even consider the needs of other people like we ought to, let alone sincerely intercede for them like we should. In other words, we get fought so hard that that's all we focus on. We don't even consider other people because we're getting bashed so hard we can't hardly see straight. So what's happened to our brother and sister? I mean, we might take knowledge of it. I mean, we might mutter a little prayer about it, but we're not interceding about it like we should. And because of that, this provision for victory is not taking place and applied like it ought to be. Now, there's three instances of the view that Paul had towards intercession that show us how selfless and how sincere our own intercessory prayer should be. Three wonderful examples that we find in the Word of God. The first is found in Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. He said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now what he's talking about there is he realized that the Jews, I mean the race that he was a part of, the religion that he was a part of, did not believe in the Messiah like they should. And because of that, they were going to be eternally damned as a result. And because that bothered him so badly, and because that was such a tremendous burden upon his mind and upon his heart, because of the spiritual condition that they were in, he said, listen, I'm not just willing to pray for them, but I'll go to hell if they could just be saved. Unselfish, sincere when it came to praying for the needs, not just seeing the needs, but praying for the needs of other people. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, he said, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but even our own souls, because ye were dear to us. Then his motto of ministry was given in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. He said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, even though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And folks, that's the attitude that the Lord wants us to have concerning intercession and when it comes to the needs of other people. He wants us to be moved with such concern and compassion that we overlook ourselves because we're so focused in on them. Sound foreign to you? It should, because people don't see intercession like that anymore. As a matter of fact, I would venture to see the extent that intercession goes in a lot of American churches today is praying for those needs half-heartedly after they were brought up during prayer requests, and they never get prayed about again. Let me ask, have you fasted for somebody else? Have you spent time praying for somebody else last week? Seriously praying. When it comes to our role in intercessory prayer, we need to make sure that we're not so consumed with ourselves that we're not even concerned about other people. Now think about it. Think about some of the needs that were represented just during our time of prayer tonight. Do you pray about those needs? You want to know why you don't? Because you're not concerned like you ought to be. And that's not the will of God towards intercessory prayer. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if we're not careful, we can take on the world's philosophy these days of you take care of your life and I'll take care of mine. I mean, modern vernacular, the way they say it is, you do you, I'll do me. You ever hear somebody say that? You take care of yourself, I'll take care of mine. We have this independent attitude and we don't understand how essential intercessory prayer really is. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that as Christians, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, like it talks about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to where we become so concerned and so compassionate and so considerate of other people and the things that they're going through that we start to obey Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, which says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a law that He expects of our lives. To see the situations and the hardships that other people are having to experience, and we step in, we say, listen, I realize that this problem is way too heavy for you to carry on your own, so I'm more than happy to bear as much of it as I can to. Intercessory prayer. You're busy, and I'm busy. You got your own set of problems, and so do I. We got more problems than we can shake a stick at, folks. I mean, Brother Kepler said, you know, that's what's on our plate. In other words, our plate is as full as it can get with problems right now. And that's the way it is for all of us. But that doesn't mean that the needs of other people are exempt from our consciousness. Do you see how it works a lot of times? It's just natural for our fleshly carnal nature to rise up and say, listen, I know that they've got problems, but mine are more important because it's me. Is that Christ-like? I thought He told us to prefer others even before ourselves. And I wonder if we'd take on that type of attitude towards intercession, and I would spend all my time seeking the face of God for other people, I wonder what the Lord would come down and do to bless my life as a result. Huh. The second thing we need to do in order to give ourselves to intercessory prayer is we need to take notice of the next six words of our text, and then we need to start obeying them. Okay? I want you to notice what those words are. It says, confess your faults one to another. Six very easy words to say, but unfortunately the people of God find it so difficult to do. Confess your faults. Remember, intercessory prayer is a provision that God has established so that we can experience victory in our lives. He's giving us this commandment to obey this provision for a reason. Why? It ushers in victory. Confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. But nobody wants to do it. Now, one of the ways that we can selfishly hinder the intercessory prayer that we so desperately need in our own lives is simply by refusing to make those needs we have known. And a lot of times that's exactly what we do, especially when we're talking about a fault in our life. Now, if we're sick, I mean, we'll say, oh, I'm not feeling good. I need somebody to pray for me. But if we have a spiritual insufficiency, we don't want anybody to know about that. Now, that might seem foolish because the fact of the matter is when we do that, we hinder the very thing that we need to take place in our life, which is intercessory prayer. So that might seem silly and it might seem foolish, but the fact of the matter is it happens all the time, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you have a spiritual insufficiency in your life that you've never told someone else about? Yeah. Something that you're struggling with. And it's not just something you've been struggling with for a week. It's been something that's been an ongoing problem that you know the Word of God says you could have victory about. And maybe the reason you don't is because you won't obey what our text is telling you to do. I mean, just think about it for a second. Why in the world would anyone not want other people to be praying for them if they have a hardship going on in their life or if they have an insufficiency in their spiritual life? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it seems like that person would be begging other people to pray for them, not trying to resist it and to try to keep their situations hid so that they wouldn't receive the prayer that they need. So what could possibly keep us from asking other people to give us the intercession that we need and obeying this clear command of God? Well, there's really only one answer to that, isn't there? Pride. You want to know why people don't go up and say, hey, I'm struggling with this issue in my life and I need you to help me pray about it? You want to know why? It's just one word and one reason. Pride. Pride is the only thing that would ever keep a person from confessing their faults and their needs to other people and asking them for their prayer support that the Lord said is a provision for our spiritual victory. Okay, but why would a person ever let their pride get in the way of having their needs met? And why would a person ever let pride keep them from obeying this text and having people pray on their behalf? Well, the answer to that's very simply as well. They don't want to have to admit that they have problems to people. They don't want to tarnish their precious little reputation. Okay? They don't want anybody to know that they have any kind of problems or insufficiencies or shortcomings in their life. I mean, they want to keep everybody in the dark that they could ever possibly have a fault or failure of their own, and they don't want anybody to know, so they do their best to keep it concealed from everyone. And because of that, they keep it all to themselves, and they never tell anybody else about it, and they walk around and they try to pretend like everything's fine and everything's honky-dory, and they're the life of the party and on the spiritual pinnacle of things, when really they're falling apart at the seams on the inside of their life. And it's all because of pride. It wouldn't make any sense if a person was in the ocean struggling to the best of their ability just to keep their head above water and getting ready to perish because their muscles were giving out, and a rescue boat comes up and they throw out the life preservers and they say, man, grab a hold of that thing. We'll pull you inside the safety of the boat. You don't have to drown to death. You don't have to struggle like you're struggling. And that person say, oh no, I'm fine. Look at my smile. Really? I'm fine. I don't need no help from somebody else. I'm not going to admit that my muscles are ready to give out and I'm going to plunge to the depths of the abyss. I'm fine. Did you know that one of the most common places that people go wearing a costume and a mask isn't to Halloween parties, but it's the house of God? While the whole time they're surrounded by loving brothers and sisters in Christ, that would like nothing more than to put their arms around them, intercede on their behalf, and do their best to lighten their load, but they can't. Because nobody here has faults. We've all got it together. Nobody struggles with anything. So because of that, because of the fact that they don't want to look weak, they stay weak. And because they don't want to come across to somebody that's faulty, they remain in their frailty. And it's all because they're too prideful to admit that they have any kind of problems. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret here, okay? Okay. The people around you already know that you have them. Yeah. As a matter of fact, those secret things that you're trying so hard to conceal, people probably already recognize those in your life. As a matter of fact, this is really going to knock you for a loop. But they could probably point out some other insufficiencies that you have that you're not really aware of. In all actuality, these things that we think that we're hiding aren't hid from God, and they're really usually not hid from other people. But even if nobody else would ever know the things we were struggling with, why wouldn't we obey this verse so we could receive the blessing that comes along with it? See, there's really no sense in any of us trying to keep all of our shortcomings concealed, but it's best to just go ahead and obey our verse when it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Why? So that you might be healed. When it comes to intercession, we need to do ourselves a favor, folks. And that is, we need to let go of our selfishness and submit ourselves to this portion of Scripture. And we need to let go of all of our pride and let the next section of this verse be accomplished in every one of our lives. Because I want you to notice what it goes on to say. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And we need to understand that that is the will of God for every single one of our situations. And for every single one of our lives. You need to believe that God wants every single one of your faults and every single one of your hurts completely healed through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them to be hid. He doesn't want them to be ignored. But He wants us to pray for one another to the place that the hand of God comes down and moves inside of our midst and moves inside of our lives like He desires it to. After all, that's why He's established this provision in the first place. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to come up to the music tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Ron if he'd just play a CD. I tried to not preach very long at all, and from the clock, it looks like that I didn't. I didn't look when I started. But tonight, I really want us to take our prayer time very seriously. And we need to understand that God wants to heal all of these issues in all of our lives. But He's also made it very clear how He wants to go about doing that. Through intercessory prayer. You know, it amazes me how we can have some kind of problem in our life, whether it's something that comes from without or something that comes from within. Meaning, you know, a problem, an insufficiency that we have in our spiritual lives, or a way that the devil is attacking us. I mean, those are the two kind of problems that we face, right? And it amazes me how somebody can be stuck in either one of those situations for a long period of time and they never ask for anybody else's help. Because they're under the assumption that they can take care of it themselves. It's not working out so good so far for you, is it? So So why would you continue to try that way? I mean, it's kind of like a guy that has to chop down a tree and all he's got is a dull axe. And he sits there and beats that thing and beats that thing and beats that thing, but his buddy across the street's got a brand new one, but he never bothers to say anything to him. What's that guy going to do? He's just going to wear himself out until he finally gives up and quits. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I going to let my pride stand in the way of the healing that God wants to see take place in my life? Am I going to let my selfishness stand in the way of me being filled with compassion towards other people? All in all, am I going to let either one of those things keep the will of God from coming to pass, both for me and for them? It's my prayer as your pastor that we would all answer the same way, which is with a resounding no. We're not going to let that take place. But instead, we're going to commit ourselves to obeying this text in full so that the will of God can go on to be accomplished in full. I ain't got any fancy illustrations tonight. I preach shorter than I usually do. I've done my best to give you what God has very, very, very seriously laid on my heart. The fact of the matter is we need each other, folks. These problems that we're facing are much too big for us to bear alone. And that doesn't mean that we're weak. We just need to understand and admit it. And you might be here tonight and maybe you're struggling with a spiritual insufficiency in your life, meaning that you know that there's something not up to par with God in your life, and maybe you've known it for a long time, but you don't want to tell anybody else about it. You need to understand, I really believe that the Lord's trying to get some folks to understand that if you don't take this provision that this verse is talking about, where you confess that fault to somebody else and ask them to sincerely pray with you about it, you're never going to get past it in your life. And what do you think the eventual outcome is going to be? Then on the other side of the coin, there's people in this service that are facing such tremendous hardship from without, things that they did not bring upon themselves. Life is throwing them a whirlwind and it's shaking them so bad they don't even really know which way's up, and understandably so. Folks, we need to make sure that I understand you've all got your own problems. I understand that. I've got my own too. We all are overwhelmed by the issues in our own life. But what God's wanting us to understand tonight is we can't get so overwhelmed and consumed with ourselves that we're not concerned about other people. Do you know that there's other people that got it worse than what you do? So if we were going to go by priorities, we ought to be praying about them first. Now, you understand, we pray about everybody. You understand the point that I'm trying to make. But how many times, I mean, I really want you to examine your own heart and your own mind right now. How many times do we get so overwhelmed by our own stuff that we don't even really consider other people's? Now, we know that they're struggling. I mean, we might make, you know, offer up little prayers for them, but we don't take the intercession that they need seriously. They're going through tremendous hardship in their life. They don't need a 15-second prayer before you go to bed. They need you to pray and seek the face of God doing your devotions and be committed to doing so until the change that they're needing to occur comes by and is accomplished in full. That's what they need. So the question is tonight, if you'd all stand, is what kind of commitment are we going to make? Okay. Now, as I was praying, asking God how to do this altar call, because really that's the only reason that I've said any of the things that I've said, is I want to get people around these altars and really get serious about praying. Is I haven't been for sure exactly how to do it, so I'm just going to do the most basic, I guess, altar call that you could. If you're here and you have a serious need in your life, a need that you really don't feel like you can take care of just praying by yourself, the burden is too great and the load is too heavy, and you will freely admit, I need somebody else's help to get through this thing. I want you to come and gather wherever you would like to around the altars, kneel down and pray, begin to seek the face of God, because there's going to be some people that are going to gather around you here in a minute. But if you're here and you need the hand of God to move in your life, and the things that you're going through are so difficult that you don't know if you'll make it through without the help of other people, be honest and come around to the front. Man, don't let your pride stand in the way. I mean, just a moment ago, we were facing the most desperate situations that we could possibly talk about. But now nobody wants to move. Why? Pride. The Bible says that God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Which one of those things do you want to experience? We've all got needs, folks. It ain't nothing to be ashamed of. And it doesn't mean that we're weak when we need other people to help see us through. That's why God has made this provision in the first place. This is the way that it's designed to work. We need to let it. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a particular need in your life, as far as the kind of needs that I'm talking about, and you don't feel the Spirit of God checking you in your spirit to come down and pray, these people that are down here just admitted to every single one of us that they need help. And we need to be committed and loving enough to make sure that they get the help that they so desperately need. Amen. Brother, go ahead and play. Hallelujah. Thank you.